One of them was the word veil, and the other one was the word transfiguration. And I'm still trying to dig into it a little bit. I think there's more, whole lot more on this thought of transfiguration, but I'm going to have to hold off on that for another day. You know why that worship is so important? It's like, I keep hearing the word reframing. Did one of you say it this morning, maybe? I don't know. About this, and maybe it was just the thought of translations, Bible translations, right? Most of us grew up with King James, you know, these and thous when you read the Bible, and the preacher's reading it, or the priest, and you're like, what the heck? It means nothing to me. I don't get the Shakespeare talk. And then the New King James, like, okay, that's a little bit better. And but each of these is trying to communicate, connect with you. And I've always told you, everything we're about together, when we get together, whether it's just sometimes we just worship, we're at the table, we're unpacking these questions. How do we answer these questions, right? And I've always told you the first one is, who is he, right? Who is he? And the second one, what does he say about me? Who am I, right? And the next one is like, kind of a, now what? If that's him and this is me, what does this mean? How do I go do life? And all your preachers and all those translations of the Bible are trying to, they're wanting to help you with the answer to that. And sometimes those answers get you stuck. That's why I say, don't just go pick up commentaries. Just invite Holy Spirit. Anytime you get read a verse in Scripture, hang out with it. Just read it and just ask God, I have no clue what this is trying to say to me, but I can't move from this verse. You feel like I'm stuck here, like you're trying to say something. And just ask him. And sometimes I bet you he might show you in a song. Sometimes he might be on some unexpected thing you're watching on TV. All of a sudden you get this, oh, I know what that's saying to me. And but honestly, that's what translations of Bibles, the Bible's doing. All these translators, they're trying to, they had an aha moment. They had this thing that went, oh, this is what it is. And we've said this a lot, and there's lots of verses on it, but your heart, you want to get, what does this mean? The key is your heart, right? Because everything about understanding him, it's a here thing, not a here thing. Does that make sense? It's a heart thing, not a head thing. Does that mean I take my brain away? No. But Bible says it's with our heart we believe. My head's job, my brain's job is to say amen to that. you know what amen means? Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. Means so be it. Mm-hmm. Yep. It is decidedly so.
It is settled.
It is settled. Right? That's what amen is. So when my heart gets this like, oh, moment. What we're inclined to do is go, let me sort this out, make sure I understand this. Then I'm going to go to the commentaries and the preachers and all these people like, oh, wait. Instead of like, I have the encounter and like, yep, that's it. it's all about the encounter. Paul talks about this and he uses the language of a veil. Because sometimes you get the verse and you're like, what? Or you have the encounter with him and you're like, what? What do I do? What does this mean? He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read it out of the Passion Translation. I'm starting at verse 13. We're not like Moses, who used a veil to hide the glory to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened. For even to this day, that same veil comes over their minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. The veil's not yet been lifted from them, for it is only eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah. So until now, whenever the Old Testament's being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now the Lord I'm referring to, verse 17, is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is Lord, there's freedom. It's interesting when any time there's like, you might call a move of God, a new move of God. You know, some of the biggest persecutors of the new moves of God are the people in the revelation of the old move of God. Right? It's like, I remember having this encounter with Jesus when I was a boy. I was in grade school. It's the day I said yes to him and just like, I need you here. And I asked him into my heart. And so I have this life-changing encounter with him that I said yes to. And sometimes, David said this in the Psalms, God, help him remember that time. Mm. He says, he called it the joy of his salvation. Because sometimes we have this encounter with God, and then we sort of get stuck. We sort of like Danny's words, built the box around my, okay, here's who God is in my life. And what fills my box, what informs me, well, my family does, my culture does, my TV and newspapers do, my preacher does, right? And so, you know, you could go back, pick a denomination, pick a movement. The Nazarenes, the Presbyterians, the Episcopal Church, the Lutherans, you know, the Foursquare Church, the Assemblies of God, there was an aha encounter. There was a leader who God brought this this moment to, his presence to, and then, and they went, and maybe they were in this church, and they have this is how I was brought up, this is how I was raised, and then all of a sudden God meets them, and it's different than that box, right? We all do this. They have a box, and I'm not saying it's bad. We it's like framing things and understanding things. This is what's true. This is what's not true, right? But all of a sudden, we find ourselves really hardening those boundaries. That's not true. This is true, right? And so all these movements, I think, I don't know if it's a true statement. I'm just going to say I think it is. They all started that way with these encounters. And then this is what's true. This is what's true. This is what's true. Boxes, right? Boxes, right? And then we stick in our boxes, and here's the penalty of staying in our box. Hold on. Danny's penalty. My experience in my box. Things would happen outside my box. I don't know what to do with it. Right? I've concluded this is who he is. This is what he's allowed to do. This is what he does. So when something happens outside of that, it breaks my framework. It kind of breaks the rules.
It breaks, you know, your box.
Yes! Whoa. So, but here's what I do. Oh, that's not true. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. No. I may even get up on the corner. Those people that are doing those things, stop that. That's bad. And right? And I stuck in my box. I'm stuck in my box. And all these things God's trying to, God's literally going, I have more for you. I have more for you. I have more. And, right? This whole thing when God says, keep your heart open, he's really saying, man, you haven't even begun to get the all of me. So guard your heart. That's what he's saying. Watch your heart. It's the gateway. You're up here trying to control and manage everything that I'm trying to do. It's like, you'll never get it. It's right here. Right? And so I get the framing. I get the help people understand the boundaries sort of God. By the way, I'm probably meandering. Darla's going to stop me this morning and go, psst, psst, get back. Ten Commandments are good, right? And I've told you this before, but it's sort of like a playpen for Jamie, right? Because if Jamie starts like crawling all over the place, and I've got sharp things over there, breakable things over here, electrical plugs over here, right? You're like, okay, that is cool. So I'm gonna put him in this playpen. And you know what? I can trust moms and dads when we're in the kitchen cooking. He's okay. It's safe inside this playpen with these boundaries. And I put inside the playpen things that are Jamie safe, Jamie approved, took things. So in there, because if I just kind of take the walls away, trouble could happen. You could hurt yourself, right? Ten Commandments. It's kind of a lawless time of society. Horrific things are happening. So the Ten Commandments are sort of like a playpen for people like, okay, I've got to isolate you from this really reckless, horrible kind of living that you hear. And I set some boundaries. You wouldn't think I'd have to have a commandment about lying or cheating on my wife. Yes. Or murder.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So you got to like, let's get some of the big rocks out of the way here and keep you safe. But then Jesus comes and says, now let's get out of, there's a big world out here, and let's get out of the playpen, right? So when he says that he came to basically replace the law, what is he saying? It's like, look, we get this now. Now Holy Spirit's going to counsel you on how to move and all these, and walk in freedom anyway. So I get framing, I get boundaries, I get helping you. But sometimes we can get stuck in our boxes, and it gets in the way for the more of God, right? And so somehow we forget how to learn, like we were talking at break of worship, said we forget how to trust him like kids. And all of a sudden this thought of believing him and trusting him gets replaced with, well, I need to understand. It gets replaced by popular culture. It gets replaced by that prominent preacher, right? And we get stuck, and we start convincing ourselves the box I'm in is a good box. It's better than your box. And I'm in this season of life where I'm watching people have these encounters with God, and I'm so intrigued by it. I'm like, I want that. I want what you've got. And I kept feeling like, why can't I get there? Because it's like, you're experiencing a joy like I'm not experiencing. I'm doing everything. I'm going to church. I'm doing everything. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. Why can't I, right? And so I go to this counseling appointment. I go to a sozo appointment. And just this old lady kind of person. I'm thinking, oh, you're my counselor, huh? But Holy Spirit rocks my world, and next thing I know, I'm a blubbering mess, and it's not out of my, all over the place. And she basically says, she starts talking to me about my box. It's like, it's like, well, let me know when you want to blow up your box, because you're trapped, and At this point, I'm like, I'm desperate. I'm so like, why can't I have more of him? And it's like, I'm so trapped in my box of tradition. And this is what church should look like. And all the more of God is outside my box. And so I went through a season of blowing up my box, but Bible says that that the love of God, it passes our knowledge. It's bigger than our ability to understand. It's in Ephesians chapter 3 basically says you're never going to get your head around it, how much he loves you, right? Also says in the New Testament that we have the mind of Christ, right? But our understanding of that, right? The only way I'm going to actually kind of like, if he says I've got his mind, but I'm trapped in my box, how does that work? It's like, he says, well, there's a key to opening up that mind of Christ, right? It's called faith. It's really just called believing, right? Paul's actually talking to the young church, the early church, saying, you're kind of stuck. You're still, you can't quite get your head around the more of what he's trying to do with you. He says this, and I'm going to keep reading that Corinthians chapter 3. The next verse says, you know, we can all draw close to him with this veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We're being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. So in all of a sudden, when we let our hearts kind of lead in the discovery thing, get out of our boxes, the language that the scripture uses is, it's like this veil starts to, all of a sudden you start to see him clear, right? It's like all of a sudden, you know what we're seeing clear? We're starting to answer the second question. How does he see me, right? That's why it says all of a sudden you look in a mirror and you start seeing him in you. That's what he's saying. All of a sudden the veil gets lifted. You're like, oh my goodness, he's inside of me. And the more we see him in us, the more we see him, the more we change to be like him. That's why scripture uses this language of going from glory to glory, because we feed on the more of him. It's like, more, 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 right? And we're transfigured. We're turned into something that's elevated more than I was before, right? So God's trying to blow every circuit in your mind, right? We've concluded, I've got the answers. Right? A plus B equals C for God. I've got all the kingdom formulas right here. And God goes, what? He wants to do this. He wants to like blow all your formulas out and say, no, there's more. Right? And you're going to start, you're like, wait a second. I just learned that formula. It's like, wait, there's more. Right? Right? Because the thing with these veils is we have these misperceptions about, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm not seeing him right. I'm perceiving him wrong. I'm misinterpreting him to myself and to others. And it blinds us from seeing him rightly. Right? So, in our boxes, you know what we've sort of done, that we build up, we're sort of like that hamster on the wheel. We keep trying to do something, probably perform, make sure everybody knows that I showed up to church and I went to your Bible study, make sure I paid my offering, and all these things. I'm, in my head, I've got one of my formulas is, right? That's what I need to do. And Meanwhile, he says everything that I've said about you was true before you did any of that. Everything I believed about you had nothing to do with you going to church. Everything I believed about you had nothing to do with your service. Everything God says about you has nothing to do with your, honestly, your behavior. Right? So how do we take the veil off? If the key is seeing him in us truly, if the key is us getting out of our boxes, our formulas, how do we get the veil off? Right? Scripture says we're seated with him in heavenly places right now. Also says we live from heaven to earth right now. It says, and by the way, if I said you're seated with him in heavenly places, there's a, yep, I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. There's a, my head, yeah, that's true. And then there's my heart saying, it's true, right? There's a, I can believe in Jesus thinking. And then there's believing like Jesus, thinking, right? Does that make sense? And I think we're pretty good at the believing in Jesus. We're saying these things, we're recalling these things, we're agreeing with these things, amen to these things. But it's like this thing of like identifying and thinking, being like him, responding like him is a whole other story. I guess, you know, I've been watching The Chosen. Again. And maybe your experience is different than mine, but I'm watching it. I get excited all over again. It's like, you can tell by this music, the soundtrack, something big's gonna happen. And even though I can hear the music, something big's going to happen, and I know the answer because I've read the story, it's still, I can feel my something inside leap, like, yeah, come on, right? He's gonna raise her from the dead. He's going to open her eyes. Even though I know the answer, what's happening? This is being engaged again. And so I'm trying to remind myself, Danny, you know the stories, but feeling him and being in that here. This is what he's called me to be accountable to, right? And so it's like, God, how do I get to fall in love with believing like you, not believing in you, believing like you, just responding just like you? I wanna be that way, right? We have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has. Do you know that? Right? Do you know that? Right? We have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has. And then our boxes, it sounds too good to be true. So something in my box kind of begins to measure that a little bit. Maybe weigh it out a little bit. Like, yes, that's true, but there's kind of a but, I won't say it too loud, that I'm getting there. God says, no, you're there. I know, that's great. I'm getting there. No, you're there. Right? See what we're doing? Well, no, we're using our boxes to, like, he says this is true about you, and our boxes are saying, maybe this is true. Right? And we start to, like, measure away, logic away. We start to, like, it's a lot more comfortable to trust in my reasoning. It's a lot more I can get my head around this kind of understanding a little bit easier. And so I end up creating theologies, or I'm going to surround myself with people that are saying, yeah, maybe not all of that. When you get to heaven, you can have that. And I start giving up. All these things he gave me, I start giving back. Effectively. He said, no, all this is yours. The fullness of who I am is yours. Great. Here, you keep that. You keep that. Because I'm not worthy of it, right? The only thing we can offer from our side of the relationship is to believe. It gets back to how would Luke describe his day at Tatsby yesterday. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? It's impossible to please him without being this way. Here you go. Perk your head on this one. That means I've got to be sinless. God says that's not in the equation. Uh-oh. My accomplishments, my church position, my church activities, that's not on the list. My Bible knowledge. I am fluent in Greek and Hebrew, and I know all the that's not on the list. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And the call is just to believe. That's the only, that's it. That's the list. So he's like, you kind of get rid of your religious baggage. I kind of need you to quit talking to me about your box. Because it's those that they're keeping me from seeing him. I don't know what your box is. I know what mine is. I think blowing it up is kind of an everyday thing. Because I keep putting myself back into it. I keep putting conditions on God. I keep putting boundaries on him. I keep putting conditions on the things that he'll do. By the way, that's when Scripture talked, when Adam and Eve talked about the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. What it was, it's like you're going to live by your framing, your understanding, or just trust me, believe in me. Right? So anything else we do beyond just believing him and trusting him like a child, honestly, it's disobedience. Yeah. That ought to hurt your head. All the church people. Yeah. Anything outside of just believing and trusting this is disobedience. So you want to remove your veil this morning? You just want to like enjoy the encounter, like worship, where Lisi's just singing. You're like, okay, I'm just gonna hang here. This is enough food for my week right here. I'm just gonna like let this minister to me, right? And it doesn't matter if you can't sing. It doesn't matter if you don't know the words. It's just like, what's happening? I can guarantee you, as worship was happening, your spirit was going, oh. There was something inside of you was like, more. Something inside of you was like, keep coming. Keep pouring on top of this. And keep refreshing, right? I just want more of that. I just want to hang out in the encounter. I just want to hang out in the encounter. You know that's all God's ever wanted from you every day. It's just like when you have that moment with them, pause and just connect with the moment. Sometimes it's a hummingbird in your theater. Sometimes it's in your garden, sitting by your water, and you have this thing inside of you, and You want to? I could pull weeds. I could keep working, or I could just enjoy the encounter, the moment right now. In Hebrews, they said they talked about the rest of God. It's like I'm just gonna connect with this place right here, or and this place of rest. It's honestly, it's embraced like a child. It's the difference between Adam describing the weekend and Luke describing the weekend, right? God, so just up close. God made you innocent. He's not counting your sins. He says you're perfect before me. He said that everything was completed at the cross for you. Nothing was left out. He says that all of who he is has been given to you. The Holy Spirit is bringing, there's nothing being held back, right? Heaven's not keeping a little piece until you die and come to heaven. All of heaven is being released to you, has been given to you right now. There's nothing in reserve. There's no warehouse that has the doors, has not been opened up, said it's all yours, right? You're perfect before him. You're perfect before him. He says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Right? He says that when Christ died, you died. And he says that you've risen with him. Right? I told you, he says we're in heavenly places with him. Right? So I'm just going to read one verse in Hebrews, and you can go hang out in Hebrews. It's fine. 10 and 11, it talks about faith and resting in him. And I'll just... Hebrews 10. I'll end with these two verses, three verses. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and with no hesitation. For he has dedicated a new, life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent king priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we've been free from an accusing conscience, and now we're clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Everything we've been searching for is found in heaven, not on earth. And the good news this morning is you're already there. So this morning, as we just kind of like close our time, God, I pray for an explosion of boxes today. Whatever framework that each of these in this house have made to understand you, to define you, to describe you, God, I pray that you excite their spirit with the more of heaven, that the walls collapse and more of heaven pours in, that more of who you are kind of blows their minds. God, I pray for fresh encounters this week. I pray for the joyful moments where you have those times where you remember feeling this way in an encounter with him, and he comes again and makes it more than you experienced previously. That you just have this wow moment with God, and it excites you. God, I pray for their spirits to rise. I pray for their hope to expand. God, I pray for their boldness to be increased, that there's a strength about who they are in Christ. So when troubles come, God, there's a moment where they can encounter that in Jesus' name. God, I pray for a boldness, a supernatural boldness to minister to sicknesses and diseases. God, in their homes and at work, God, I pray that there's a boldness to say, can I pray for them? And that heaven moves, God, when they speak this week. God, so we pray for just the fullness of heaven to invade their prayers. God, come and bring miracles this week. Bring supernatural wonder this week. Excitement in their dreams. God, so come with dreams and visions that just speak to the more of heaven. God, and just that there's an energizing that happens in their spirits. God, minister to wounded spirits. God, come and rejuvenate, heal. God, minister to broken hearts this week. God, we just want more. God, we just want more. We just want to just enjoy the joy of heaven this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.